got plenty of time for next year.
Yeah, next year she'll have to come around.
Yeah.
They'll be married by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they'll have to share Christmas.
They'll have to share Christmas. Have to do the
yeah.
here and there.
Yes.
I remember those days.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
We did everything with Christmas Eve, both sides of the family.
What about was it Christmas Day?
Christmas Day.
And we have to travel to Mama. Mama lived up these days.
Sometimes. We did Christmas different places.
So what time is your family today?
We're not going to have dinner until about Christmas.
Okay.
So that way the year, everybody's chance to know.
Oh, that's
it. Right. Well, like you were saying, you want to get out earlier.
Well, get off the road.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Of course, you know, most drunks are not out at 9 o'clock. Let's get your bets. Get on the road, man.
I had invited Mary.
All right, that ready?
Yes, sir.
Did you get it?
All right.
You know, I just gave them a pass.
See your extra batteries? You got enough batteries.
Now for a while.
Oh, yes, yes, got it. Amen. Thank you very much.
You bet. Amen. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. That's great. Amen. All right. We do have a few birthdays for you. The first one is Jesus. That'd be today. All right. Then we got Terry Kimball on the 26th. And then we got Mr. Lee Tosh on the 29th. So those of you having a birthday, happy birthday, everybody. Let's sing them. Oh, we do have a few announcements for you. We've got Praying in the New Year. That's going to be on the 31st in the gym next door. That's going to start around 6 o'clock and go till about 9. And we'll give you an opportunity to get home, get off the roads. But that's New Year's Eve. And then we will have service this coming Wednesday. We will have our Bible study this Wednesday. Next Sunday, we'll just have our AM service, Sunday school and AM service. We'll not try to have Sunday PM. So that's what's coming as far as the schedule. Make note of the New Year's Eve, praying in the new year on the 31st, starting at 6 and going till 9. Amen. Do I have any other birthdays? Any other birthdays? Did I get all the birthdays? All right. Yeah, we got Jesus. Thank you, sir. Yeah, all right. Let's sing him some happy birthday, and then we'll get her going here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can, stand if you can, and we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem on page 250. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Brother Steve, did you want to do an offering this morning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. May we please have our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering?
Heavenly Father, we just come here today and just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've given us, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. Amen. We just thank you coming to this, celebrate your birth, Lord, being born, Lord, into the to the world, Lord, to be our Savior, Lord. We just thank you, God, for that. And, Lord, we thank you to be able to celebrate this beautiful day, you Lord, and just give you all the praise and all the glory that, you know, we just can't say so much. There's so much we can't say enough, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for the visitors here today or and all the ones that come out today to celebrate this day on a Sunday. Lord, and Sunday, we always celebrate you on Sunday, Lord, but this is a special day, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just dying on that cross for us, Lord. And ask you just to bless this offering, Lord. You give us so much, and you know, and we thank you for what you've given us and all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Amen. Well, Brother Steve, did you want to go ahead and give your message, or do you want to sing more songs?
Is there a special music coming?
No, but we can certainly sing more songs. Oh, yes. For Silent Night, for the... Yes, sir.
Amen. Silent Night's going to be the end, I'm assuming?
Yes, sir.
At the very end? Are y'all getting warm?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, okay. Well, I tried to warm it up a little bit. All right. Amen, amen. Very good. Outstanding. Outstanding. Very good. All right. Here we go. Well, we're going to begin today with a Christmas tradition here at New Hope Baptist Church. It's the lighting of the Advent wreath, and you'll notice that most of it's already burning already. The Advent wreath, what is it? Well, it symbolizes to us God's never-ending love. And the wreath's five candles shed light on the meaning of Christmas. The three purple candles represent hope, peace, and love, and that pink candle represents joy. The four candles surround a white candle in the center, in the middle there, which represents Christ. Now, church families and individual families and Methodist churches and Lutheran churches and all kinds of different flavors of churches light the four outside candles on the four Sundays preceding Christmas, and then they light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We don't do it that way. We light them all on one day, normally Christmas Eve candlelight service, or as we find ourselves today, on Christmas Day candlelight service. So the purpose of this wreath, the Advent wreath, is to build a sense of holy expectation for what's to come, right? So as we celebrate the first Advent, which is a foreshadowing of what, preacher? It's a foreshadowing of His second coming, right? So as we get all wound up about the birth of Jesus, you ought to be getting wound up for His second coming, that He's coming back again, right? So this morning, you'll notice that they're all burning except for the white candle still to light. We'll light that here in a little bit. But that the hope, that first purple candle represents that hope. And the passage for that is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtaining an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He was Christ who came as a baby to give a world, in need of hope. Amen? And then when we think about peace, that's the other purple candle there in the back. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 read, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." And so we honor the Prince of Peace here with us this morning. Yes? Amen? And then when we think about the pink candle there in front, that's talking about joy, right? And so Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you." So we celebrate this morning the Christ who brings us joy. And then finally, the last purple candle there in the back, that represents love. And 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 reads, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." And so we thank God for His unconditional love. Yes, yes? And so that leaves us with that fifth sinner white candle. So we'll go ahead and light that now. All right. And the angelic host shouts, "Hey!" Hallelujah, amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3 read, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." And then John chapter 8, verse 12 reads, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." And so, ultimately, folks, we celebrate the Christ who is the light of the world. Amen, amen? All right, with that said, if you would stand to your feet and take a copy of God's Word, we'll begin here, we've already begun, but we'll continue on in Mark's Gospel as we have gone through our Christmas preparation. Over the last week, I told you we would be full on Christmas. We have been in about every gospel. We've been in Luke's gospel. We've been in John's gospel. We find ourselves in Mark's gospel. And then next Sunday, probably we will be back in Matthew's gospel as we begin afresh or begin again our series of messages on that gospel of Matthew. But Mark chapter 14, rather, beginning in verse 22. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us this morning. Those of you visiting with us, good to have you with us as well. If you can kind of hold your Bible and give our visitors a round of applause, amen. Good, always good to have visitors with us. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. The Word of God reads this, 14:22. "While they were eating, He took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take it, this is My body.' And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And He said to them, 'This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" And verse 26 reads, "After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Now, it's too cold to go to the Mount of Olives today. But after you sing that hymn, you be blessed and you go enjoy time with your family and friends. Amen? And be very wise and smart today, okay? Some will mimosa it, and some will margarita it, and some will wine it, and some will beer it. But friend, don't let them leave your presence with them car keys if they are inebriated. You lovingly take those keys from them and tell them to sleep it off. Amen? Don't let them out there on the road. You remember to love them and help them see another Christmas, right? All right. Well, did I read that passage? I read it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word today. We thank you for loving us, Lord, and for saving us. We thank you for this Christmas day. We thank you for the celebration it brings in our hearts, and we thank you for recentering us and helping us refocus on what the season is about. And Lord, we're so blessed that you decided to take on human flesh, that you submitted, and Lord, you came out of love to die in our place on Calvary's cross. And so, Lord, as we celebrate your birth, we also remember your death. And Lord, as we remember your death, we look forward to your second coming. And so, Lord, it's all about you today. It's all about thinking about you and pondering your love for us and pondering your truth and resting in the fact that we know you and that we are headed to you one day. And so, Lord, thank you for those that have gone on before us. Thank you for those that have gone on ahead of us. And Lord, may we think about the Christmas that they're experiencing at this point in time, to be absent from the body and to be present with Christ. So Lord, we praise you. We love you. Thank you for all that you're doing in us and with us. And if there's one here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may this be the final seed sown in that heart before it comes to fruition and salvation. And they turn from their sins of disbelief and unbelief, and they simply walk this aisle as a testimony, as a statement that they want to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father God, I would consider a great honor, a great joy to take somebody through the Roman road this morning and show them what it means to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. So we give that to you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this anointing time and just being in our midst. And so, Lord, may you just be free to work as our hearts and minds are open to receive your truth. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Well, we are what? You may be seated. Thank you. We are about to observe the ordinance of communion or the Lord's Supper. And it is open communion here. So if you're visiting with us, if you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you follow the Lord and believer's baptism, we invite you to partake of the elements with us and just act like you're part of us. Amen. It's open communion. So, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the elements, yes? And so, as we begin, it's no ordinary thing that we are doing here this morning. We don't do this every service. Now, we use ordinary things to get this done. We're in a warm building, praise the Lord, amen? And we're sitting on padded pews, hallelujah. And we've got juice that has been processed and pasteurized. You're not going to get sick from drinking it. And we've got bread, unleavened, of course. But it's no ordinary thing we do together. This is not an ordinary sack lunch we might pack with us to work or take with us as we go to school and eat at our convenience. This meal is not a fast food feel that we take after we've gone through the Taco Bell or the Whataburger. It's not grazing our way through the leftovers in the fridge after Thanksgiving, stuffing our faces as we watch the clock and seeing how much turkey we can eat before it goes bad. No, this meal is not a movie, and it's not a sport-watching pig-out-a-thon. That's not what this is, filling our guts with all kinds of sweet and salty junk. This meal that we're getting ready to receive together, it surpasses even our Christmas meals that we will partake of here in just a few hours. So we think about what is before us this morning. This is no ordinary meal. This little meal will not fill, but what this meal represents will satisfy. And it'll satisfy something deep within us if we'll let it. This little meal cannot last. Not a lot of calorie intake here, but what this meal represents, if we'll let it, it will linger in our souls. This little meal has no great variety. You don't get to come up here and say, oh, I don't like that piece of unleavened bread. I want that one instead. There's no variety. It's all grape juice. There's no pickle juice up in here, and there's no cherry juice. It's just Welch's grape juice, right? No grape variety. But what this meal does is carry the truth of love. William Willimon, a professor at Duke University back in the day, Duke Divinity School, he recalls the first time he was asked to teach a seminary class about communion. He went to an older colleague, an older professor, and he said, how shall I begin? What should I do? Well, the older colleague, he kind of chuckled a little bit. He said, well, the first thing you must do if you're going to teach on communion, you got to go to the kitchen. Go to the kitchen there in your parsonage, or go to the school kitchen, and you got to learn how to cook, man. Get you a cookbook out and start preparing food. Willimon said, why should I learn to cook if all I do is teach the meaning of communion? And the much wiser, older professor, he said, you'll never be able to understand the meaning of communion until you know the love of cooking and the joy of those who are satisfied. See, we come to the table, and if we'll let the Lord, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit, He will satisfy. He will satisfy. That is what we do this morning. We celebrate a feast of love. Not so much in the meal, but in the joy, in the satisfaction that takes place. See, it's no ordinary meal, but it's also no ordinary host. I'm not the host today, and the deacons are not the host today, and we as a congregation are not the host here this morning. The host, Jesus Christ, He serves Himself and refuses to eat until a later time. Jesus is serving you this morning at this table. He's the one. Mark chapter 14, 25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. It's no ordinary host. It's no ordinary meal. It's no ordinary table. There's a remarkable thing about this table. This table, this Lord's Supper table, it looks kind of common, but there's no ordinary thing about it. What you need to understand about this table is that it expands. There is no limit to its size. As Stephanie and myself's family is growing, we're starting to think in long terms and getting on out there a few years. And as Trevor is engaged and will be married off in just, I guess, in a month. Going to be married the end of January on a cruise ship, no less. That'll be another addition to our family. And I've been talking to Stephanie about, you know, we're going to have to get a new dining room table, and it needs to seat at least 12. And she said, 12? I said, baby, it's got to seat 12. And she said, well, if they all get married, there will just be 10. I said, somebody's going to have some kids in there somewhere. I go, you want to have them babies at the table as long as you can before you boot them to the other table and make a kid's table. So it needs to be 12. And so I've been looking online and trying to figure it out, how we're going to afford a table like that and how we're going to get a table. I've been looking on Facebook Marketplace a lot. And for the room we have in our house, we're going to need a square table. But we're going to need a square table that takes those leaves, right? Those expansion leaves, right? And I found this one place online, Amish handcrafters. And friend, they can put up to 12 expansion leaves in your dining table. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much 12 of them cost. It's more than the table. But friend, if you want to keep expanding that table out, they put a system underneath that thing, an extruded aluminum track, and buddy, you can just keep cranking that bad boy. If you got the room and you got the money, you can just keep chunking that thing further and further. Well, friend, when we come to this table, guess what? That's the way it is. Somebody gets saved, table gets bigger, right? Somebody comes to the Lord, table gets a little bigger, right? and bigger and bigger and bigger. It cannot be fenced, this table. And this table cannot be confined. It just keeps on going and going and going. This table expands with the love of the host, and it grows with the grace of His invitation to us. One day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we will see the thief on the cross. We will see the woman caught in adultery. And this morning, perhaps, some of you will come to the table and you may be a little beat down. And some of you coming to the table, you may be struggling with some arrogance. And some may be struggling with some guilt. And some may be struggling with some foolishness. And some may be fickle. And some may be experiencing this Christmas day some hopelessness. But let me tell you something. In the economy of God at His table, everyone and all are invited to the Lord's table this morning. It's just an ordinary table. It expands with mercy. It lengthens with love. And it pushes to the ends of the earth with the gospel of peace. And so as we think about this table this morning, as we think about this meal this morning, we who gather here, we who come together this morning around Jesus, we are no ordinary people. Some of us have come here this morning with anger in our souls, and some of us have come here this morning with self-centered pity, and someone within or outside the congregation we think may has done us wrong, but some of us have come here this morning with resentment. We see the happiness in somebody else's lives and we cry out saying it's not fair. The ordinary within us wants to abuse. The ordinary within us wants to accuse. The ordinary within us wants to obliterate. The ordinary within us wants to isolate, wants to bite back, wants to attack. But something happens to us if we'll let it. As we come to the table together, as we come, we begin to receive grace, and we begin to experience grace, and we begin to listen to the words of our host, and we hear that this meal is for us, and we hear that Jesus loves us, and we hear that the Christ died for us. And then it finally dawns on us that He's going to marry us one day. The ordinary of our fleshliness begins to be swallowed up into the extraordinary of His grace. And it just kind of washes over us. And if we'll let it, we'll just let it go. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57 says, "But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." See, the usual vanishes into the unusual. The worst of us is crucified with Christ, yes? The best of Him takes its place in our lives. Amen and amen. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll enter into a time of invitation as the deacons in a moment get ready to prepare the elements. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning praising You and thanking You, Lord, for all that You've done for us, all that You do for us. You are an incredible and gracious and merciful God. And Lord, as we think about this morning's communion and Lord's Supper, we're blessed beyond measure. Lord, we're lifted up and we're helped and we're encouraged along the way. And so, Lord, the things that may be tripping us up, the things that may be holding us back, the things that may be slowing us down spiritually, we seek to let those things go. We seek to confess those things to you, Lord, and to repent from those things. And we seek to begin afresh and to begin anew with you as we think about the grace that's been bestowed upon us and the love that has been extended to us and the mercy that has been provided for us. Lord, help us. Help us in spite of ourselves. Help us in spite of our sin. Lord, may we look inward and not outward. May we look inward inside and see what needs to change. And Lord, may the supper table today, may the meal, the extraordinary meal, may it help us make the change. Push us, nudge us, encourage us in the right direction. And Lord, may we be more like Christ when we leave here than when we entered here this morning. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, brother. Yes, Brother Jeremiah is going to sing us a hymn of invitation. And deacons, if you want to come and take the cloth off the elements. Oh, you've already got it off there. Okay, if you just want to make them ready, that's fine. The altars are open. I'll be down front. If you need to come and pray, whatever you need to do, you come. All right, brother, thank you. He's going to sing, yeah.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him?
Guys, if you'll get those elements. Yeah, let's have single file. Yeah, if you guys will come down single file today, just make one line. You need the guys to come down, just raise your hand and we'll get you an element, okay? Get your elements for you. Oh no. No, that's fine. Yeah. You could do Amazing Grace right now as I get there. Yeah, as they get their elements. To open. Boy, that pink one's burning quick. Yeah. Well, the white one. I think the white one's the better quality because it's not running. Yeah, it might have been. I had to get rid of all of them. They got way too short. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen.
Amen, amen, brother. All right, thank you. Oh, you guys got it about right today. You got about got it down to the one left over. Oh, you got a few left over down there. Anybody got a hand up? Amen. All right. Okay. Are y'all good? Get Lori? All right. All right. The Word of God reads here in Mark's Gospel. Chapter 14, 5 second rule, it's still okay. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning verse 22. They were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We'll have a word of prayer for the bread, and then we'll receive it to ourselves. Amen? Everybody got elements? Oh, Bobby. Okay. All right, all right. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, again, while they were eating, he took some bread. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we're thankful for your Son. And Jesus, we're thankful for your obedience to be born, to go to that cross, to live a perfect life. We thank you for the laying down of your body for us. Thank you that you carried our punishment and our sin on Calvary's cross. Praise you, we thank you for it today. We recognize the love it represents. And Lord, we just we're so blessed. It's the greatest gift we could ever receive, your body in our place. So we thank you for the salvation it gives us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Let's eat. Word God reads in chapter 14, verse 23. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We'll thank him for it and then we'll receive it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for the Word that became flesh. Thank you for the Word that everything has been created by. We thank you for Jesus today, and we thank you for the blood that flowed through His veins as it was shed on Calvary's cross, covering our sin, so that, Lord, when we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that blood covers us. That blood washes us white as snow. That blood makes us, in effect, an heir of the throne. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the blood today. We're thankful for the covenant today. We're thankful for the regeneration today. And, Lord, we're thankful for the marriage supper of the Lamb that we look forward to. Oh, we're going to thank you for it now, Lord. No telling how close it is now. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank you in advance. We praise you in advance for what that is going to be, for how it's going to come about. Thank you for your first advent. We praise you for our salvation. And we thank you for the second advent that's quickly coming. All because of the shed blood of Christ. We receive it today. We love you for it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we drink? I think we're going to have you come down one more time in a single file and get your light. And then we're going, as the Word of God says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Again, too cold to do that. But we are going to sing a hymn. Hey. Yeah, if you'll line up after you get your light, if you'll just line up along either side of the sanctuary. That is too cool. I don't have to warn you about setting your neighbor on fire. Or catching somebody's hair on fire. That is amazing. It's got a switch on the bottom. On the bottom. You're more than welcome to light your fire already. There's a little black switch on the bottom. If you'll click that, it'll begin to light up. Frank, can you get yours on? Yeah, you got it going. All right. Somebody lit your fire, Brother Frank.
I think I know his name.
Amen. You're fine where you're at. Let people come to you, and you can move if you need to move. Bobby, are you going to need one, or are you going to use your phone? You're going to use your phone? Okay. All right. Amen. Y'all can fill in the front. That's fine. Y'all want to fill in the front. Kind of make a horseshoe here. And just do Silent Night, I guess, two or three times.
Yeah, that's like twice. Yeah, first, twice.
Okay. Yeah. Verse, twice.
Everyone knows the words.
First, verse, twice. All right. Amen. All right, and then after we're through singing, yeah, we're going to get the lights off. We'll get the lights off. After we're through singing here, James and Ronnie are going to make their way back quickly to the back, and then they'll have open Bibles. And every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we always take a benevolence offering, and they use these funds throughout the year, you know, for flowers and for cards and to help people that are in need of help. So, the benevolence funds are needed and used. So they'll be at the back of the church with an open Bible, all right, to receive any donations that you might have for that. Amen, amen?
Amen.
All right, where's my kids at? There they are.
Need a bigger table?
Need a bigger table, brother?
sir.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Well, folks, Merry Christmas. You are dismissed. Thank you, Brother Ronnie, for the guitar accompaniment.
Did I do okay?
And find your off button there. Turn them off. And where's the box? I'm going to put it back here in the back door. All right. All right. It'd be easier that way. All right. Amen. You folks are dismissed. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hopefully to see you soon.